chapter 4, verses 30 through 32. And really, this is sort of a continuation to our message on last week, where we shared with you too much stuff. I wanted to go back to that and address some of the things that's happening within our lives. Listen to what God says through the Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians chapter 4. He says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And," everybody say and, "be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." From that verse, we want to share with you the message, learning to let go. Learning to let go. Learning to let go. You may be seated. Father, we thank you again for this awesome privilege. I pray that you would help me to speak clearly and to speak boldly the things that would be right for your people. And Lord, the things that come through the Word of God, that we might hear them and heed them and allow you to work in our lives. We thank you for this awesome privilege of worship. God, worship helps us to get beyond the cares of life and center on you, our loving and heavenly Father. Speak to our hearts now, in Jesus' name, amen. Why is it easier for us to hear wrong things versus right things? And why is it that when you think about life and how we have voices that influence us, why is it always the voice of evil that speaks first? Yeah, if someone does this, you need to do that. Well, it's not strange that this would happen, because we find that even as far back as the Garden of Eden, Eve allowed the serpent to speak to her rather than God. It shouldn't amaze us that the enemy would speak to us when we're trying to do what's right. We think that we've sinned because we've heard from the enemy. That's not a sin. That's called a temptation. The sin comes when we start listening to that message, taking it in, and then developing a course of action that we're going to act on what we've heard. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Be careful what you hear. It should not surprise us that Satan even tried to tempt Jesus. He came with a message: if you are the Son of God, then do this. If you are the Son of God, then cast yourself down. If you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. So it should not amaze us, it should not surprise us, that at times in our life, the evil will speak, but that does not mean that God is not speaking. What we want to focus on is not necessarily the evil that is spoken. We want to focus on the fact that the evil is now embedded into our heart. It's embedded into the way that we conduct our lives. And before we can even turn to the scripture or more or less hear a message, we're hearing that voice. We're hearing that voice that speaks to us. Sometimes we assume that it's God. It must be God. It must be God. But we've got to be careful, little ears, what you hear. The Bible records something in the Old Testament regarding the prophet Elijah, that God had spoken to him and given him a command to go to the Israelites and to tell them the plan of God, to tell them this is the will of God. And Elijah got to the place where he felt like no one else is doing this but me. He was depressed. How many of you have ever gone through times of depression? You know what it's like to feel empty. You know what it's like to feel alone. You know what it's like when you're pressured. And so God said to Elijah, "Go down to Mount Horeb and I'm going to talk with you. I will speak to you." And he went to Horeb, to that mount of God, and there amazing things happened. First of all, there was an earthquake. But the Bible says God was not in the earthquake. And then the wind started blowing, but God was not in the voice of the wind. Fire came across the mountain, but God was not in the fire. When did God come? That still, small voice that spoke to him into his heart. That's when God speaks to us. It's not through the Facebook. It's not through the text messages. You've got these text messages and people telling you, this is the word of God, pass it on to 32 other people before 2 o'clock. And while it may be a scripture, maybe that's not the scripture you need. Well, when does God speak? God speaks to us in the silent turning of the pages of your Bible. God's Holy Spirit begins to deal with you and to show you, here's what you're facing, here's what you need, and this is what I'm going to do. So how do you listen to these voices? How do you discern what's going on? And how do you get to the place where you learn to let go of things that will not move you forward? I want to go back and I want to read those verses again because I think it speaks to us. It shares with us that the first thing we've got to be concerned about is grieving the Holy Spirit. How many of you agree with that? Do not grieve. Do not cause him to be grieved over the way that you're handling your life. And I'll get into that in just a minute. Because you've been sealed to the day of redemption. Now, maybe you haven't looked at that verse deep enough, but I'm looking at that verse from the standpoint, I'm sealed for the rest of my life. Nothing I go through today can unsettle or unseal me. Because God was the one that said, here's what I'm doing for you. Don't worry about what you're going through right now. I know it's ripping you apart, but you're not going to be torn apart. As a matter of fact, through this, you will become better. You don't think so at the time, right? So you go through it, you wrestle over it, and yet God is molding and shaping you into this amazing person, into the amazing image of Jesus Christ himself. Then it says, let go of all the bitterness. Let go of all the wrath. Let go of all the anger. And I looked up the word clamor. I said, I've got to search that one. Clamor, the Old Testament uses in the book of Proverbs that it says a clamorous woman is hard to live with. Now, ladies, don't you all think I'm coming down on you? A clamorous man is all hard to live with as well. But he uses that as an illustration of people who are so critical in life that all they do is whine, cry. And when I read the word and I searched it up in the Greek, I thought about Elvis Presley. You ain't nothing but a hound dog. Are you going to spend your life clamoring, just trying to get through it, just trying to, oh, God. A couple of weeks ago, I was bad. I was bad. I was clamoring all the time. I was a hound dog. And some of you that are not from the country, you don't know what a hound dog can do. He can bark sometimes when there's no rabbit to chase. Is that the way we're going to spend our life? And that's the thing that this verse is asking of us. Is that the way that you want to go through your life? Bitter, angry, upset, unsettled. How you doing? I'm just hanging in there. Oh. And when you do that, you're grieving the Holy Spirit because he has a better plan for your life and mine. He has more that he wants to do with us than just for us to say, well, I'm just biding my time till finally they roll me in a church and they say some words over me and then I get shipped out to the ground. Well, I'm living for more than just a funeral. I think, and you ought to be thinking, that God wants to do some shaping in you.
Amen.
Who would go to the gym, right? Pay your membership fees at a gym and not work out. And the amazing thing about going to the gym is you got to have these things called weights, right? So God brings these things into your life by design. Granted, they will bring tears to your eyes. And it will upset you to the point where you say to God, I don't think I can go on. But through Christ, hear me, you can do all things. He says, let go of these things. Let them go. I'll get into that just a little bit later. We're going to move on because I'm almost out of time. But then he says, be kind to one another. Be kind. We're in an unkind world because we have allowed things to shape our character and the way that we deal with one another, right? The world is so messed up and so upset over everything because we have allowed it. And the church, I'm telling you, is no different from the people in the world. Amen. We don't have a calmness about us. We don't have that sense of faith that God's going to work this thing out. We don't have that assurance because what we've been doing is we've been holding on to the things that we ought not to rather than letting go and letting God. That's my whole sermon, by the way. So when you learn to let go, you've got to look at this thing called treasured trash. Everybody say treasured trash. To you, it's worth the world. I have a right to be upset at that person. I have a right to have an attitude. After all, look at what they did to me. Okay? PBS has this program called Roadshow or some type of, look at it. I've got it in my notes. And what they'll do, they will have these appraisers. They'll have these appraisers who will go about and they will look at what people have. It might be a painting, it might be an old jar, it might be something else. And so they will look at it and say, yeah, what you got is worth so many thousands of dollars. Oh, you've got an original. But now you got to think about it. What they found, it's probably what somebody else threw away, right? So in this treasure trash thing, Antique Roadshow is the name of the program. So in this treasure trash thing, the person, you watch their face, they said, oh, I didn't know it was worth that much. But now the question is, regardless of what the appraiser says it's worth, can you sell it? Can you sell it? And while we're on the subject of roadshows, the Apostle Paul used some of those terms because when we hold on to the negative things of life, it's like we're holding on to dead animals. A lot of these terms were used to describe what happens to a decaying dead animal, bitterness, anger, and he uses those terms. So now, I don't want you to be upset at me, but really what you're harboring in your life is roadkill. You hit an old possum. You know, can you imagine? Here you go, because the deer ran into your car. You're going to put that deer in your trunk and just ride it around in your car and tell everybody, here's that deer that dented my car, rather than fixing your car and going on. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but how many of y'all carrying around roadkill? Something happened in the past, right? Something happened back in your life, and you have not gotten over it. As a matter of fact, you put it in the trunk, and you said to yourself, I'm never going to forget, and I'm never going to forgive. I will always remember. And the question is why? When you do that, you grieve the Holy Spirit. You will not give him access to work in that area of your life where he says, look, I can help you with this. He said, no, God, I got this. I can handle this. Can you? And meanwhile, it's causing all kinds of relationships problems. It's causing all kinds of ill. Now you got blood pressure. Now you're diabetical. All because of this stuff, you won't let go. So
So Paul is saying, listen, listen. Make sure that the treasure you have is the treasure of Christ. That it's his gospel that's constantly cleansing you. One of the things I heard yesterday is Dr. Graham in his testimony said, I've never changed the message. I've never changed the message. He said, it's still the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he loved us as sinners, he forgave us, and he wants us to come to him, repent of our sins, and to give our life to God. He said, I've never changed the message. And when we have been given God's message, who gives you, who gives me the authority to allow now that bad message to become the voice of my life? Telling me what to do. Telling me how I should live. When the Holy Spirit is greed, he's over there. He said, look, you won't allow me to act. I know what you need. And I could lead you if you'd only allow me. So let's look at a couple of things here. A couple of voices. You have the option. Voice of self, voice of others, or the voice of God. The voice of self, you know that it's limited. You notice that it's just a matter of time before you run out of options, right? I mean, y'all been there. Where you get to the place where you're not just lack of knowledge, you're just plain stupid, right? Or the voice of others. It's amazing how other people can be the expert in your life, and they got problems themselves. Them telling you how to live, and they jacked up, you know, right? So you've got to learn how, like Elijah did, learn how to listen for the voice of God. It's a still, small voice. It comes to you in the wee hours of the morning. When you wake up, God's already awake. And he whispers to you, let's talk, let's talk. You're facing something you've never been through before, but I'm leading you through this so that you would be victorious. Let's talk. Remember a couple of years ago, they used to have these crosses that people would put out on the countryside or the billboards that said, after the game, let's talk. Matter of fact, God says, who said anything about a game? So you got to listen to the Spirit. If you listen to self, here's what's going to happen. Anyone who sows to the flesh, I'm a farmer, I know. Whatever you put in that ground, it's going to come up. If you sow to the flesh, listen to what he says, you will of the flesh reap corruption. All right, let's play this out. Something happens to me, somebody insults me, and rather than me turning to God and say, Lord, what shall I do? I'm going to sow to the flesh. All right, you hit me, I'm going to hit you. You step on my toe, I'm stepping on yours. Now, what am I sowing? I'm sowing in the flesh. So rather than this thing diminishing, now it's going to increase because now, what is it? It's eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Finally, you're going to find yourself eyeless and toothless, right? But if you at the same time sow to the Spirit, listen, because whenever these things happen, the Holy Spirit is right there with you. Remember, he is in your heart. He's in your life. You've invited Christ to be the Lord of your life. He is in your heart and in your life, and he's saying, look, let me tell you how to respond to them. Let me tell you how to respond to them. You don't argue with the fool. You recognize who you are and who you belong to. And then you allow the grace of God to work in your life. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you a story at this point about a young man by the name of Chris Carter. Chris Carter, at the age of 10, and this was taken out of Dr. David Jeremiah's book, Overcomer. At the age of 10, a man came to Chris Carter's house. He was 10 years old. And the man said to him, I'm a friend of your dad's. Got Chris into his pickup truck, stabbed him, and then took him out into the fields and shot him. Left him in the Florida Everglades to be eaten by alligators. But guess what? God didn't let him die. God didn't let him die. Chris Carter recovered from those injuries and went on to live his life. But he lived in fear because they never caught the guy. They never found out who it was. He lived in fear. Would you be angry? course you would be. But the Bible says, be angry, but sin not. He was angry, he was bitter, and he wanted revenge until one day he heard the gospel. He heard about God's forgiveness. He heard about the grace of God. Chris Carter gave his life to Christ and let go, that's the word, let go of those things. Let's fast forward. Years later, according to Dr. Jeremiah, years later, they found the man that had committed the act. He was 77 years old and in a nursing home. When Chris got the news, he went to visit him. But rather than being bitter, he shared how the grace of God and the love of Jesus Christ had changed him and forgiven him of all of his sins. And then Chris turned to him and said, I forgive you. I forgive you. Now, the man had tried to murder him. At first, the guy said, well, hey, you got the wrong guy. I didn't do this. But then later on, he said, the guy gave in. He spoke to him. And some days later, because the family visited him every day. Once you get the gospel on your heels, it doesn't give up. Once God decides, once God says to you, I love you so much, I'm going to keep on sending. Visit him every day until one day the man on a Sunday afternoon gave his life to Christ. A few days later he died, but he died in peace. So let's choose. Let's find out. Are you willing to continue to journey through life knowing that you still got stuff in your trunk? By the way, I didn't have time to go to the dump this morning, and so I got some garbage bags in my truck. And I can imagine how it's going to be lit up by the time I get out of church, all right? Some of you already lit up. You're living this life. And you're miserable. You spoil every relationship you get into because you got spoiled stuff in your life. Why not let go today? Why not say, God, you know, I tried this. I tried to do it my way. I've listened to others, but now, God, I want a different life. You may be a Christian and still have these things junk in your trunk, right? Or you can say to God, today's a new day. If you forgave me, I'll forgive others through you. Got a couple other things I'm going to share with you. Remember, here's the key. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. What he's trying to do in your life, what he's telling you he can do with your life, let him do it. Why will you always spend your life and say, well, I'll listen this much, but then I'm going to turn the Holy Spirit off? Why would you do that when the only thing he wants to do is love you and to bring you to the level so that when you appear, here's the whole plan. He says, day of redemption. Here's the whole plan. When you stand before God, guess what? You're going to look just like Jesus. Yeah, I know you messed up now, but the Holy Spirit's going to, he's going to fix you up. I know some of y'all ladies, I watched my wife this morning, and she got in front of the mirror, and she's already beautiful, by the way. Yes, I know how to talk, man. That was good one, Ruth. All right, so here she's in front of the mirror. She's fixing herself up because she says, I'm going to church, and I want to look nice when I go to church because people are going to want the first lady to look nice, right? All right, so here's the Holy Spirit. Here's the Holy Spirit of God. I'm fixing you up. I'm putting in you what you could not put in yourself. I'm beautifying your life. Let me do my work. When things happen, don't get bitter. Don't get angry. Let me do my work. And by the time I get finished doing my work, when you stand before God, I guarantee you, you will look just like Jesus. Work, Holy Spirit. Work in our lives. Make of us what we cannot make of ourselves. In the closing verse. Everybody say, let go. Closing verse is this. Be imitators of Jesus Christ. Don't imitate the important people in your life. Don't imitate folks in your family. Well, I'm just like my daddy. When I get mad, you better look out. Quit being like your heavenly father and quit being like your earthly father and be like your heavenly father. Be imitators of the Lord Jesus Christ and walk in love even as he walked. Is that good? So, last Sunday we had you to fill out this little survey. Some of you may not have gotten it. I got some copies anyway. I might make it available on the website where you can fill it out. By the way, I did pretty good. I only had a scale of 48, right? Out of 100, I was 48. Still stressed, but I got a 48. Okay, so I'm working on it. I'm allowing God to work in my heart. And we're out of time. I got to quit preaching. We got to serve communion. How many of y'all got something out of this? Amen. I did. Father, we thank you again for your amazing love and your grace. We pray that you'd help us to take it in, to learn of you. You're such a wonderful God. I don't know why you spend time with us, and yet you do. Your patience is amazing. Your love is amazing. And your plan for our life is amazing. Help us to walk in that love and in the power of God. We thank you, and we appreciate your presence so much. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to extend the invitation. There might be someone today that perhaps you're at a place in your life where you want to let go. You're not really sure how. That's the work of God. Let him work in you, and he will. Let us all stand. I want to get ready for the offering. We ask that you prepare your hearts as you prepare your gifts. And while you're filling out the envelope, please put on there your name clearly. Don't write the amount on the envelope except in the block where it says amount, because some people wrote in the name $25. And we have no idea. But make sure you fill it out so that you can receive recognition for that.